Morning. Technically we're still a little bit into morning. I've got good news and good news. Due to the presentations ahead of me, who so well introduced so many of the collaborations that we're doing at the federal level and brought in a lot of what I was going to talk about, my talk is even shorter than it was. So I want to and it's great. That's the other part of the good news, is that we all are talking about something and we're all talking on the same page. And that's great news for what we're talking about. I am going to bring in one little bit, extra aspect of it. I want to first say that this was done in collaboration with one of my colleagues in my office, Sarah Nee Singer. But it is the work of several people in our office. Just like we're going to be talking about here, that collaborative nature, we are a very collaborative division. We are the Indoor Environments Division. We are a non-regulatory part of EPA. We work both, as you can see through some of the presentations above, through our federal partnership collaboratives, but we also work with a partnership network that is federal and state local governments. But we also have a very strong partner base of organizations that represent certain specific sectors that we're interested in. So we, for example, have worked with Habitat for Humanity to build homes using our Indoor Air Plus program, which is a program to build in indoor air quality things in conjunction with the Energy Star work at the agency to make better homes. We've worked with tribal communities, we've worked with EJ communities, we have a large schools program, large asthma network program that we deal with more at the community level and organizations who are working at that level. That was the statement that somebody said was supposed to be in here, that I haven't seen in anybody else's presentations, but somebody told me it was supposed to be there, so I put it in. So basically what I want to talk to you about today is how we believe that the need for having indoor air quality added into our dialogues. And the funniest thing about this is, in this context with the group of presentations ahead of me, it's already there. We are part of those communities, we're part of that discussion, and at the federal level it's been really great. We work with DOE and HUD a lot. We've worked with NIH and NIST and all kinds of organizations, and indoor air quality is right at the table these days. When we get down to some of the community levels, some of the other levels, some of the conversations include aspects of indoor air quality, but we don't necessarily think about them. And that's where we're trying to outreach. We're trying to get to that point of outreaching so that we're reaching out to some of those other terms and technologies, as well as having them reach back to us, and we can start that collaboration at all of the other levels. And I also am going to, the part I'm going to throw into the conversation is the concept of resilient design, building for our future in resilient design. So again, high-performance buildings and communities. We know what they are. Some people call them green, healthy, sustainable, smart. But a lot of times when we're having the conversations, some things don't get included, and indoor air quality is sometimes one of them. For example, a lot of times when people start a conversation, they think about it, but they don't really talk about it. When they start talking about a conversation of smart growth, we start talking about transportation. We start talking about making buildings in a certain way with economic development being right there. We don't remember to talk about indoor air and other issues sometimes, and we want to make it more universal. When we talk about all of those different groups, we're talking about the same characteristics of buildings. And everybody talks about them being healthy. The last two presentations talked about the impact on health. But a lot of times, again, when we start talking about things like smart growth, or sometimes when we're talking about the built environment, we start talking about health in the sense of making it so people can walk, they can get lower weight, obesity, and other things. But we want to try to bring that, broaden that conversation to add indoor air, and so that we can be talking. So we're reaching out to all of those other groups to say, we want to help. We want to help with all of that, the transportation, water issues, all of that, as well as we want you to help us with indoor air, because we're all about increasing the health of the occupants. Indoor air quality, I think we've talked about it quite a bit in the two presentations. And the basics of indoor air quality versus indoor environmental quality, they're all the same thing. Air, of course, is just the air. Indoor environments is everything that you're touching, everything that's in your indoor environment. That's why I say we're interested in all of these different aspects, anything that goes in the built environment, anything that goes into smart growth, everything that you're doing outdoors, you're bringing indoors. So if you're walking and you walk through a contaminated soil and you walk into your home and there's not a rug, you're going to bring that contaminated soil indoors. If you're near a highway, you're liable to bring the filter, the air is coming into the house, if you don't put in proper equipment. So we're interested in all of it. And health, the talk before me was excellent at getting into how much fixing and maintaining and preventing things can so much improve health. And that was a special conversation for me because I am from Baltimore and I am from Northwest. And, you know, anything that will get home better is, you know, and that's where we're trying to all get to. And it's sometimes hard sitting in a federal office and you get a call from somebody and you're in a federal office. What can I do at a federal level? And that's why we want to reach down even more to all the community groups, all the other groups, and say, we're here, but we need to know you and you need to know us so that we can help each other. Chris went through all of what the major aspects of why indoor air is important, so I'll skip it. but those are the three that we promote a lot. Now, homes as they're built today, and we have a lot of homes that are being updated and renovated for various reasons. But with the current codes in place, you still have a lot of problems that can still happen to them. And there are ways, we know ways, to build homes, to renovate homes that would improve on these problems. And that's what all of these discussions you're hearing today are about, fixing the built environment so that it can prevent problems from happening as much as possible and can help keep an occupant healthy. So I'm going to add a little aspect to it. If the current codes have problems and still allow certain things to happen, what's going to happen as extreme weather events and other events increase? And most people agree that extreme, we don't necessarily want to call it climate change or global warming or other things, but almost everybody agrees that in recent time you've seen some kind of weather event or some kind of other event that you had never seen in your area before. We've had floods. We've had wildfires. We've had droughts. We have changing patterns in cold. I'm in Boston and I'm cold, but I expected that a little bit in Boston. But it is the exact same temperature in Maryland this week. And I know a couple of times I've gone down to North Carolina and Florida, and it's been almost as cold as it is here. So we know these things are changing. And as these things change, there's an impact that happens on our indoor environments division. So, for example, energy conservation, big thing to help climate and everything else. But a lot of times we do that by decreasing our ventilation or sealing everything. Well, then you have the chance of getting more increase on pollutant levels indoors. You have, because of the changing patterns, you have things that are growing that didn't grow there before, or ways of things happening. So you have a lot of biological vectors that are changing, which means you're going to have some different kinds of pests indoors or different kind of biologicals indoors or outdoors, which could cause people to change their behaviors, use more pesticides, use more other chemicals, use other things. changing in the way you have to clean things, adding more consumer products into your indoors. Those are all going to bring in some level of contaminants indoors. And if you've decreased your ventilation, it's not going to get knocked outdoors, pushed outdoors. You've also got the common things we talk about, floods and other things. Buildings get destroyed. And that happens. So you're increasing your mold or other things. You also have a lot of people spending time indoors to get away from things that are outdoors or to changing their patterns. One of the things that we're reaching out about and would like to know more about is the idea of resilient design, passive survivability. We would love to talk to architects, to built environment folks, to smart growth people, to anybody who's interested in housing or buildings to deal with resilient design. And what that is designing the building so that when you have the heat wave or the massive thing that knocks out the power, that people can still survive in their buildings. When you have these floods, and it's just the early parts of the floods, that you've got your building built in a way that you've got flooring and things that the water doesn't get in as well, and things like that. And there are several ways that people have done that already. It's out there. It's in Europe. It's other places. We're looking at trying to enhance it here. These are just some of them, and we're willing to talk about them. And this includes things like when you put your shelters that you're planning to use right next to the building that you're living in, if something happens in the neighborhood, you might lose the shelter. We need to think about that. Where we're locating things, how to keep our water supply healthy in bad things. We have to be global. We have to be holistic. More information? Any of these that we had a report done from NAS on climate change. There's some websites that we're updating on our site. You've heard a lot about our federal partnerships and things. That's myself, my colleague Sarani. I'm not sure she knows her name's in this, but that's Sarani. Feel free to write her. We are also at a booth downstairs, booth 747, and we would love for you to stop by, sign up. If we're not there, we have our wonderful folks from Cadmus who are here for us today. So just sign up, let us know anything that we can do, and please be willing to hopefully give us your names and how we can contact you so we can start a dialogue with you as well.